Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome into the show on this Wednesday morning, live from the Auction Community Studios. It is the Wolf and Luke show, and Wolf, I fully expect Vince Murata to join us for 2 seconds here shortly because his keys are right here.
Okay, there you go. Oh my goodness, right now. It's too bad because you'd love it if he was actually in the car. He was in the car, the car was starting, he was driving, then there'd be no key issue, so.
I guess I don't know that these are his, yeah, but then, yeah, you'd be in some sort of vortex where he started the car without the keys. I don't know that these are his keys, actually.
Okay, just keys laying there.
Just
somebody's
keys.
That is a weird thing right
yeah.
there, isn't it?
Maybe they're my keys and I just don't recognize them.
I don't think so.
No, probably not.
Yeah, that might be something that happens to me from time to time.
Are these your keys?
Not you, no. Okay. They're not, let me check.
Yeah, you haven't even looked yet, okay.
We're good.
All right, so. Wolf, I've been trying for the last, let's see, when was the Cardinals game? Last Monday. So nine days to make myself feel better about the direction this team is headed, okay?
Yeah.
And we've done the whole, hey, they're 11-6, and there's a lot of truth to that and everything. But this is, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday before the show, and we just didn't have room to fit it in the show yesterday, so we're going to do it here to start the show today. You watch the playoffs, and you see Joe Burrow, and you see Patrick Mahomes, and you see Josh Allen, and you're like, oh, Justin Herbert didn't make it. And then you start to piece together, like, all those guys are in the AFC, all those, that next generation of great quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. When I heard you say that in show prep, in the meeting right there, and I started thinking about that, and I'm like, man, Luke is right. And it's kind of hard to actually say
it's
that.
It's hard to even
but,
think it.
Okay, yeah, you were right on that. That's very interesting. A lot of the young, up-and-coming, or established great quarterbacks are in the AFC.
And then I'll take it one step further, Wolf, because how much are we hearing, hey, Tom Brady might retire. Oh, hey, Aaron Rodgers might actually retire. He's not going to, but he might. Or he might go to Denver. Hey, Russell Wilson might leave, or he might go to Miami or Denver. Now, I'm not saying all three of those guys are going to leave, but if even one of them, but especially if two or maybe all three leave, it's not just the young quarterbacks in the NFC, Wolf. The quarterbacks that you really would pay attention to in the NFC, if set those three guys aside yet for a second, because I figure at least one of them is leaving the NFC and maybe two. Your quarterbacks in the NFC are Kyler, Dak, and Matthew Stafford. who else is a quarterback that you fear in the NFC next season going forward? Now, I get stuff can move around. I get Russell Wilson could feasibly leave and go to another NFC team or whatever.
Right.
But I'm just saying, if you set those three guys aside, because we don't know about those three, and we have all the young, potentially great quarterbacks over in the AFC except Kyler right now, I mean, who is even your fourth quarterback that you'd be worried about?
Right, exactly. Well, first of all, I believe Tom Brady is done. You know that. I believe that he's done. We'll see. It really doesn't matter. Who cares? It's not a prediction. It's just a guess. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, those two right there, NFC quarterbacks right now, I believe they're going to be in the AFC. Stop and think about this right now. If you're in the NFC, okay, three number ones. I'll give up three number ones for Russell Wilson. You want to do that right there. I don't know if the Seattle Seahawks want to trade Russell Wilson to an NFC team. Does that make sense?
AFC, I don't know why you would.
Maybe all of a sudden, well, you're going to rebuild. If, in fact, you're getting rid of Russell Wilson, you're basically acknowledging, and I think he as well, Bobby Wagner's not going to be there. I think you're going to go into a rebuild phase at that point in time. That's just a guess.
Yeah.
When you move off a franchise quarterback like Russell Wilson, I think Aaron Rodgers, you could say the same thing right there. I think the Packers would be way more likely to move him to an AFC team because I think it's going to take three number ones. That's what I think for Aaron Rodgers and for Russell Wilson.
Okay, so, and there's a lot of logic to what you're saying. So let's just play that scenario out and go through the quarterbacks in the NFC then, okay? So in the East, you'd have Dak. I don't know who Philly's quarterback is. They don't know. I mean, let's say it's Jalen Hurts, but we're going for next year. Who knows? Washington, who knows? Giants, who knows? NFC North, okay, if Green Bay and Rodgers part ways, I assume it's Jordan Love. Minnesota would be Cousins. The Bears, I guess, would be Fields. The Lions would be Goff. Do any of those quarterbacks scare you if you have Kyler Murray?
No.
if you go through the South, if Brady's gone, we don't know who Tampa's quarterback is. We don't know who New Orleans is. Matt Ryan, and Carolina used three quarterbacks this year. I don't think they know theirs yet. And you get to the West, okay, Stafford, Trey Lance or Jimmy G. If Seattle didn't have Russell Wilson, we don't know who theirs is, and they would, like you said, be in rebuild mode. Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford should have their run of the NFC next year if that scenario plays out. And that scenario is not that far-fetched.
You know what else is very interesting as well? Like, coming into this year, would you say that Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and the Arizona Cardinals had a lot to prove?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Coming into this season, stop and think about it. They had an awful lot to prove based on our needs. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was talking about the hot seat that Cliff Kingsbury was on. Cliff Kingsbury knew he was on the hot seat, and Kyler Murray as well. And now all of a sudden, Kyler Murray goes out there and plays the way that he does. They even have more to prove next season than coming into this season. That, and if you would have told me that before this season, I would have had a hard time believing you. Coming into this season, if you would have told me, guess what, Wolf, I know this is a big prove-it year for Cliff and a big prove-it year for the team as well, but next year's going to be even more so a prove-it year.
Well,
think about that.
Yeah,
now, right?
It is.
That would have blown your mind because for a number of reasons. Number one, the fact that there was going to be a next year, knowing that this year, 2021, was a prove-it season. And guess what? I think Cliff did prove it, but he's got to take the next step, and so does Kyler. Kyler's got to prove it more than maybe anybody else at this point.
That's an interesting thought, because you're right. At the start of the year, you would have assumed either they prove it and the questions are answered,
exactly,
or they don't, and Cliff's gone.
They're absolutely.
And somehow they managed to walk that fine line of proving it. They should both be back next year, but who knows with Cliff beyond that. And I'll throw this out there. We're going to get back into Sean
Payton. Kyler Murray has got a prove-it year. Stop and think about that, Basinonians. How weird that sounds to say that out loud. Yeah, Kyler Murray's won the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Pro Bowl is second year. Pro Bowl is third year. Hey, Kyler, guess what? You got to go out and you got to prove it.
Well, that's the NFL. But look at
that
landscape.
The NFL.
It's landscape.
One of the reasons why I love the NFL.
In the NFC.
It is the prove it league.
If the NFC breaks the way it does, it should be a little bit easier. Or the way it could, the way it looks like it might, it should be a lot easier to prove it. The other thing, though, with Cliff, if Sean Payton, and we're going to get more into Sean Payton later in the show, but if he really doesn't take a coaching job this year, his name's just going to hang over any coach on the hot seat all of next year. So there's even more pressure on Cliff Kingsbury and anybody that's sort of in his area around the NFL of like, okay, we're going to give you another year, but you got to answer some questions. Now it's, we're going to give you another year, you got to answer some questions, and Sean Payton is out there.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, though. Where are the young up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFC? Where are they? You know, again, we're talking about established people like Tom Brady. Would you say Tom Brady's established?
Almost. Give him 10 more years, and I'll finally buy what he's selling.
Tom Brady. Ron Wolfley reporting. Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson. You're talking about the epitome of franchise quarterbacks right now that could be on the move to the AFC. And if you're in the AFC right now and you don't have a quarterback, ask yourself, what are your chances of winning? What are your chances of actually winning, getting into the playoffs? If you don't, look at all the quarterbacks that could be in the AFC, especially because I believe the rumors about Aaron Rodgers in Denver. I believe the rumors about Russell Wilson and Russell Wilson possibly going to the AFC or anywhere where there was a question mark at the quarterback position. Russell Wilson, man, I could see him going to the AFC as well.
Well, that's sort of where this came from. You watch Chiefs Bills on Sunday night, and you're like, man, nobody else in the AFC has a chance for the foreseeable future because those guys have Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But then you see, okay, well, you know, up next is Joe Burrow. Cincinnati has a chance. They have Joe Burrow. And then you think, okay, Justin Herbert is good enough that the Chargers should have a chance. And you start to look around. Yeah.
That's four really, really good young quarterbacks coming up.
And there's basically five, I would say, in the league right now, and Kyler is the fifth one over in the NFC by himself. And look, maybe Trevor Lawrence turns into what he's supposed to, but he's in the AFC too. I guess maybe Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts would be the only ones you look at over in the NFC, and you're like, okay,
well, there could be something. You can't, honestly, right now, you cannot put Justin Fields into Kyler Murray's class.
No, you can't put Jalen Hurts in there either.
You can't do that. I know what we saw from Kyler Murray in the playoff games, ladies and gentlemen, out of the playoff game, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot put those guys in the same class as Kyler Murray and what he did during the regular season. Can't.
We don't even know if Hurts will be in Philadelphia next year, and we don't even know if Fields is going to pan out yet. So, I mean, the gap between Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, and everybody else, if that scenario plays out, in the NFC is going to be huge. I don't remember a year where it was that big between, you know, the top two or three quarterbacks in the conference and the rest of the conference.
And it just feels like the Dallas Cowboys have questions about Dak Prescott as well. Doesn't it feel that way?
It does until you look at the rest of their division and realize you don't know who the other three teams' quarterback even is yet. We're going to talk more quarterbacks in a little bit. Kurt Warner is going to join us. But up next, the Phoenix Suns back at it going for win number 8. The golf tournament hails as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off February 7th and runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now for your chance to win tickets. Plus, one lucky winner is going to win greenskeeper passes. And yeah, coming up next, we'll talk about the Suns in Utah tonight, trying to go for another victory against another key contributor. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns Day, brought to you by Four Peaks Wow Wheat on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Suns Day with Wolf and Luke.
All right, welcome back to the show. Let's see, Wolf, let's talk about basketball based on what's on TV right now. It looks like they are going in-depth on the Lakers.
Yes, of course. Look, everybody, it's LeBron James.
Big win for the Lakers last night, getting all the way up to 500 on the year. And now just a half game behind Minnesota. Let's focus on that for the next hour.
Well, they're focusing on AD, of course, being back in the lineup.
If he wasn't back in the lineup, they'd be focusing on him sitting on the bench in street clothes. The Phoenix Suns are actually the best team in the NBA, and they're going to play Utah tonight. Utah is currently the 4 seed in the West. It's still going to be a lot of players missing for both sides. Maybe not quite as many for Utah, but they're not going to have Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. The Suns, not going to have D.A., not going to have Jay Crowder, not going to have Campaign, not going to have JaVale McGee, it sounds like. Sounds like they're all out Wednesday.
Man. Wow, you know what? Honestly, too, I was really looking forward to it. Rudy Gobert, and I was hoping that somehow, some way, Rudy Gobert was going to be healthy to play tonight because I wanted to see Bismack. I wanted to see Bismack Biyombo play against Rudy Gobert, especially now that JaVale McGee is out once again.
Yeah, you are going to get to see Bismack run amok. That should be like a new thing.
What do you mean, Bismack run amok?
Well, there's no Rudy Gobert. There's nobody to stop him.
And don't say Bismack, by the way. Don't say Bismack. Basinonians walking around, you say Bismack right now, you just scratch your butt when you say Bismack. Okay, I'm just telling you.
I feel like you just insulted 99.9% of the audience.
Why?
Because the only people that say Bismack are you and me because of Vince, who might be playing a trick on us.
You know what, honestly, right now, you got to find that out. Are his keys still here, Vinny's keys?
I did. I walked him out to him.
Okay, did you really? Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I needed a pen.
Okay, we should have held that ransom
for. We should have.
Jesus, tell us, Vin, are you joking us here? I mean, everyone says Bismack. I'm listening to Tom Leander in TC, Tom Chambers. I was texting TC about this very thing yesterday. The Bismack thing. What are you doing saying Bismack when it's Bismack, says the PA guy?
I'm sure Vince left something else in here we can hold for ransom until he gives us a real answer.
You know what, Vinny? I'm leaving this up to you, Luke. This is something you have got to do. Get out of your comfort zone and actually talk to Vin about, is it Bismack or Bismack? I want an answer,
well,
sir.
To be fair, I have already talked to Vince about this.
Okay.
And Maloney gave us double confirmation, completely independent. So she didn't talk to Vince. It's not like we have the same source. So I'm going to assume
from
those two people.
Why would you have Tom Leander, though, and Tom Chambers on the... Would you say they're high profile, Tom Leander and Tom Chambers?
The highest profile Toms I know. Yeah.
I would say so without a shadow of a doubt in the pregame and the postgame. Bismack It's Bismack. Bismack, man, that Bismack Biyombo right now, as a matter of fact. Give me that stick so I can scratch my butt, Bismack. You know,
it looks like Bismack.
Why are they saying Bismack when it's Bismack? I that is the thing. I got to find this out, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody, please. Somebody, Julie. Julie, if you're listening right now, Julie Fye, I'm just telling you right now, please, would you just...
No, I just want Bismack to call it.
Is it Bismack or Bismack?
I don't want the middleman anymore.
As in Mack Truck.
I want Bismack to call in and say, hey, this is how you pronounce my name.
This is Great Bear. I love it. Hey, dog. Hey, everybody, what do you say we build a barn and we call him Bismack? Somebody needs to clarify this. We need verification once and for all. Because you would imagine at some point in time, I don't know, based on earnings, but if you are Julie Fye and you're in charge of all communications with the Phoenix Suns at some point in time, you're going to say, oh, Tom, can I talk? It's Bismack. It's not Bismack. It's Bismack, right? Wouldn't that happen at some point in time? I'm just saying.
I mean, they're both quality names. It's not like anybody's going to get confused and be like, wait, are you talking about Bismack Smith? So I don't think there's really any reason for
confusion.
Well,
there is that right there. But still, if you were Bismack and it was pronounced Bismack, wouldn't you want your name pronounced correctly,
though? To be fair,
at some point?
I think Mr. Biyombo is so busy putting up double-doubles every night, he doesn't really care.
Man, it really is. I wanted to see him against Rudy Gobert tonight. I wanted to see that.
I'm sorry.
I was really hoping that somehow, some way, Rudy was going to be okay and was going to play tonight because I wanted to see Bismack. Especially now, JaVale McGee is going to be out tonight. So... okay. All right. I'm over it right now. What did you want to talk about in regard to tonight's game?
Just the fact that they have a chance to go 38-9. I'm trying to see if there's any, if I can get any audio of like players or coaches talking about Biyombo to find how they pronounce it. But the game, you know.
They call him Biz.
That's true. This is probably why Mikal Bridges calls him Busy. It's just easier.
Right. Hey, Biz. What's up? Not Bismack.
They're going out on the road tonight. Cam Johnson talking about Chris Paul and something that we were talking about earlier this week and even into last week. I mean, the guy has played every single game this season. He steps up even more in the fourth quarter. Cam Johnson, it's not lost on him how durable the Suns point guard has been so far.
That's impressive. I don't think it gets enough credit and recognition. He's played every game so far this season. He's been there. He's been locked in. And it goes a long way for us, for sure.
Cam Johnson. He went, wow, look at that. We're on the same page.
That was so good.
We should have kept going.
Luke, do you want to say something about Cam Johnson?
Nope. I just wanted to say what you were saying.
Okay, what was it?
The audio I have here, he went through saying Chris Paul doesn't get enough credit for his durability. Devin Booker doesn't get enough credit for his defense. It's great to play for these fans and he'll get enough credit. Cam Johnson was in the mood to hand out some credit after that game on Monday.
Yeah, you know, can I just say right now, Cam Johnson is maybe the most improved player when you think of Cam Johnson over the last two seasons. Maybe the most improved player. I know Mikal Bridges has gotten better, but Cam Johnson was a guy I think Mikal Bridges we've come to expect because of the excellence, especially on the defensive end of the floor. But Cam Johnson is a guy nobody talks enough about, in my opinion. And the improvement of Cam Johnson, not just his shot, of course, everyone knew Cam Johnson could shoot the three. That was a big reason why James Jones loved him. But his sneaky athleticism, and this is something we've talked about many times, but yet at the same time, I think he's even more sneaky good athletically now. And watching him on the defensive end of the floor as well, he's always in position. I don't know if you've noticed this, but on the defensive end of the floor, it seems like Cam Johnson is always in a good spot, good positioning by Cam right there. It starts in the brain, Basinonians, and then the body follows. And that's what I see with Cam Johnson, and he's getting better. He's getting better and growing in confidence on both ends of the floor and getting better in terms of being a leader as well.
He had a 19-game streak of hitting double digits, and then he went three straight hanging out in single digits. And the first one against San Antonio last Monday, whatever, 3 for 5. But against Dallas and then against the Pacers, he was a combined 4 for 16 shooting in those games. And then he picked it back up against Utah the other night, going 7 for 12. And he did. He talked about, as a shooter, you have to be able to forget about your off games.
It's basketball. You miss some, you make some. If you made them all every night, then you'd be a heck of a shooter, shooting 70% from three. But that's just the nature of it. You know, go back in, work on the fundamentals. Me and Coach Gates got a good workout in yesterday. Just extra stuff, moving, going after it, getting shots up. And you know, that stuff is how you bounce back maybe from a couple games where the ball wasn't going in the hoop. And the funny thing is, they all feel the same. You know, the ones in the past three games that I missed came off my hand feeling perfect. Back rim, front rim, in and out. So it happens. You know, we've had some great shooters in this league, and you rarely see a guy's career percentage over 44, 45. You know, sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't. And just continuing to shoot them is the big thing. I think Clay said it the other day. I don't care if I miss 100, I'm shooting the next one. And it's kind of the mindset you have to have.
Man, that is so good to hear right there, honestly, is it not? And yet, it's a great reminder, Cam Johnson, the assassin that he's starting to become, a guy that was, what, 5 of 8 in the last game they played against the Jazz, and a guy that I'm sure is going to be a fulcrum player tonight for the Suns as well. But I love to hear that, the confidence from Cam Johnson. He sounds so different. You go back to his rookie year. You go back to the first year that he was here, and of course he's going to grow, but it's not even close when you listen to Cam Johnson and the things that he says and how he says them. Now, we all expect that, of course, with the success that he's had, but it's so interesting to hear the growth when a dude talks, man, and Cam Johnson has grown big time.
Well, he sounds like Monty Williams, too, in that regard. We've heard Monty Williams how many times after games, and I'm sure Chris Paul and Devin Booker have said it to Cam Johnson of, shoot, we've moved the ball around so you can take that shot. I don't care if you missed the last one. We know you can shoot. Take the next one. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner will join us to talk about the quarterback position in the NFL and some of these big names that could be on the move. It's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Fullback and the Thinback. Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, welcome back to the show. A lot going on around the National Football League with conference championships coming up this weekend, and a lot of potential movement on the quarterback front. Big names this offseason. Joining us now in the 72 Sold Sports Line to talk about all this is Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. Kurt, how are you doing today? Thanks for the time.
I am doing really well. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, Graybeard. Thank you, man. We really appreciate you.
Kurt.
No problem. Have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute, okay, Kurt? I promise you
okay,
I will.
All right.
You're going to have to watch it. Kurt, the without getting too deep into the Cardinals game last week, just specifically Kyler Murray, you had a lot of playoff success. I imagine it's a lot tougher to go out there and have a rough outing in your first playoff game. So if you were talking to Kyler Murray, is there anything you would say of like, okay, you got to put that out of your mind a year from now when you get back there, ideally?
Well, I mean, I think all of us as players, especially if you play this position, you always have to have a short memory. And that's whether it's good or bad. And, you know, we're all going to have moments that we wish we could take back. We're going to have games that we wish we could have done things differently. And you move forward. And the one thing I know about Kyler, you know, and getting to know him a little bit, is that he doesn't lack confidence, that he believes he can play at this level, he will excel at this level, and he's the best player every time he steps on the field. And that's what you have to be as a quarterback, is you've got to say, hey, wasn't my best game, but that doesn't define me as a player. I don't think Kyler's going to have any problems with that. He just has to continue to grow in the position as he has every single year of his career, and I expect him to do that next year.
You know, Kurt, it was so fascinating to me because I'm listening to Tom Brady, and he didn't make an announcement as if he was going to retire, of course, but that's what everyone wanted to know. But I heard the cut of him talking about his wife, talking about taking hits, talking about his kids, and Kurt, I thought of you. I remember that's what you cited when you were done. Did you see any similarities in what Tom Brady said?
I believe, you know, Wolf, as we get older, we get greater perspective on life and what life is all about. For a huge portion of our journeys, it's about football. It's about football. It's about football. It's about attaining something. It's about achieving a certain level.
Yep.
And that is the priority. And the further we get along that path and the more that we've accomplished along the way, and the more you understand the sacrifices if you continue to do it, and your kids get older and experiences change and you've sacrificed so much along the way, that I think we get more retrospective in these moments, and we're able to kind of step back a little bit more and say, it's been great and it's been fun and maybe I want to keep doing it, but I can't continue to neglect some of these other things that I'm missing out on. And, you know, and so you weigh it a little more heavily, whereas, you know, the first, whatever, 10 years of your career, it's never even in question. Like, yeah, I miss my kids, I miss my family, but I'm playing football.
Yes.
And then you get to the point where you have to start weighing those things, and you know the end's closer than the beginning. And I think that's what Tom Brady is starting to do. And I'm sure he's feeling the pressure from his wife. Hey, I'd love to, you know, to have you around more often. And you see your kids grow up and you miss certain things. I remember, you know, my kids, I would miss certain games that they would play on Saturdays because we were traveling. And remember, as I was getting later in my career, and, you know, I told one of my kids, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to miss whatever this was. And they look back at me and they're like, Dad, don't worry about it. It happens all the time. And I remember going, oh, ow, you know, right. Ouch, yeah. That hurts. Like, it's gotten so normal to them that you know, I'm going to miss something, that it wasn't really that big a deal. And that's when, you start to step back and go, okay, how much longer does my deal become the priority over everything else? And I think, you know, Tom, we've heard that over the last couple years, him, you know, consider this a little bit more. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's, you know, had his fill and all of that stuff. But I do believe that he's thinking about that more and more, and the end is getting closer.
So, Kurt, it sounds like you expect that Tom Brady is going to play in 2022.
I don't know if I expect it, but I do think it, you know, for me, it would be hard to see Tom walk away after this playoff run. You know, the way that it played out and just didn't finish, you know, necessarily on a high note. I didn't think he played very well after, you know, having a really, really good season. I don't know. I guess, knowing the competitor and her hearing so much about that competitive spirit of Tom Brady and, you know, him saying, I want to play till I'm 45 and do all these things that nobody's ever done, I would be surprised if he went out, getting ousted in his first playoff game. But again, you know, he's accomplished everything. It's not like anything else that he's got to say, well, I got to go do this again. He's already, you know, done so many things that nobody else has done. But that just in my mind seems like a hard sell, knowing how great and competitive Tom Brady has been.
Talking to Kurt Warner. Kurt, we all watched that Sunday night game with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, and we all just marveled at the quarterback play. What does Kurt Warner, who's obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback, think when he's seeing those two guys go head-to-head like that?
Man, it was fun to watch that last 5.5 minutes, you know, and that's kind of the crazy thing. I was talking to, you know, some people that we've got this impression that this past weekend was like the greatest weekend of football, you know, we've ever seen. And, you know, I love that. I love that for our sport. I love that because I still cover the sport and I'm passionate about it. But if you go back and watch the games weren't even that great. But the last 5.5 minutes in overtime of that game was special. And it was two special players going swing for swing and doing things that we say, oh, this can't be done. Oh, shoot, they just did it. Well, then this can't be done. Well, okay, they just did. And it was so much fun because it excites us about the possibilities moving forward. You know, we just talked about Tom Brady and what if he retires, you know, the greatest of all time, and he's not around in this league anymore. Well, don't worry about it. We got Joe Burrow and we got Josh Allen and we got Patrick Mahomes and we got all these great young quarterbacks that I think are going to grab the torch and they're going to run with it. And that was just a sampling of what we may get for the next decade.
You are such a quarterback. You are. What? You've got, Kurt, you're going to tell me the games over the weekend weren't great? I absolutely thought they were the, it was the best weekend of football.
You're such a fullback.
Kurt, wait a minute. The 13-10 up at Lambeau.
Let's talk about it. Okay?
Come on.
The Titans in Cincinnati. The Titans didn't play very well. They're turning the ball over, you know, and they were down 10 points, and then Cincinnati couldn't really finish, and they came back. The Rams were up 27-3 until they fumbled the ball four times in the second half. You know, that Buffalo game was a good game. I mean, it was like 23-21 until 5.5 minutes to go, but it wasn't this incredible, you know, slugfest up until the last 5.5 minutes of the game.
I'll give you the Tampa game, but
the Packer game was just a mess.
Oh, it was it was a beautiful mess.
Okay.
It was physical. I mean, it was beautiful on the line.
If you think messes are beautiful,
okay,
then that was great football.
The struggle was real.
If you think messes are messes, then it was just like,
Just because you want to go out and throw 5 touchdown passes and only have 4 incompletions, I mean, please, Kurt.
Now, really, really what I want is I want I want to see the best players in our game play their best football. And I want to see the best teams play well and one team find a way to win the game. I don't think we saw that. I thought we saw some bad football.
Yeah,
and it just so happened that the games were close at the end, so the ends were great. But I don't think the games were played really, really well with our stars being stars for the most part.
Kurt,
there are stars on the defensive side of the ball. That's all I'm saying.
I think you just broke Wolf. Kurt,
are stars, but I don't think there was, if you looked at the games, I don't think it was a bunch of star performances by defenses. I agree with you. I love good defensive football when you play good defensive football. I have no problem with that. But again, I didn't think that was what we saw this past weekend as much as teams not playing great, and so the game stayed close, and there was unbelievable finishes without a doubt.
Kurt Warner, we always appreciate the time, man. Thank you for the insight.
I have to ask you one more question, Kurt. How is American Underdog doing?
It's doing great, man. The
it's kicking, right?
Been incredible. Everybody is loving it, and it just touches people in different ways because the story has a lot of depth to it, and it's not just my story. It's my wife's and my son's journey, and so it's really, really done well. I look forward to your guys' thoughts if you ever see it.
I love you, Kurt.
But no,
you know that.
I appreciate you asking, and it has done really, really well.
It's fantastic, man. Graybeard, thank you so much. Say hello to Brenda and the kids, okay?
Will do. Take care, guys. Man.
Thanks, Kurt. That's Kurt Warner joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. And when we come back, Sean Payton officially stepping down as head coach of the Saints. Is he really not going to coach at all next season? We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, we're back. Thanks to Kurt Warner for joining us. It was it's always good to talk to Kurt, but especially with the Brady stuff going on. And, you know, people ask Brady every year if he's going to retire. I get that. But it's not like Brady makes a huge deal out of that story every year. Like, I understand the Brady fatigue because he wins the Super Bowl seemingly every other year. I've had Brady fatigue. I'm kind of past it at this point.
I love it, man. Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. And there was a time back when I first came on the air here at Arizona Sports where I thought Peyton Manning was the best quarterback I had ever seen play. Mm. Talking about from a game plan perspective, talking about how he went out and executed, the way that he had total control over an offense. I thought he was the best quarterback I had ever seen. Yet at the same time, the accomplishments of Tom Brady now, into year 44.
You can't argue with it.
You just can't argue with it. When you talk about the greatest of all time, there's no doubt about it. It is Tom Brady.
No, because I remember in college having that debate of, is it Peyton or is it Brady? And I was like, Peyton just does so much out there. But then Brady went ahead and won 7 Super Bowls. He had a few at the time, but he didn't have 7. It's impossible to argue. But he doesn't... I don't feel like he drives this story every year of like, hey, am I going to retire or not? I feel like that's more driven by external factors. So it was interesting to get Kurt Warner's insight, because like you said, you drew the comparison between what you hear Brady saying now and what you heard Warner saying similar things when he ultimately retired.
Yeah, it was so weird to hear Tom Brady reference Giselle, of course, and talk about his wife and how his wife was bothered by all the hits that he was taking. And suddenly, when you have Tom Brady talking about Giselle and her perspective on him playing football, man, that just brought me back to Kurt Warner, old Greybeard, and there was Brenda. And Brenda was worried. Remember the last game he played where he got knocked out?
Yeah.
That right there, it made me think of Brenda and Kurt. And Kurt was looking at it from her perspective and the beating he was taking. And you also have a situation where Kurt and his kids were growing up, and Kurt has a big family as well, a lot of kids, and suddenly he was seeing it through their eyes. And, man, that hit home to me. It sounded so familiar, and that's the reason why I honestly and respectfully think Tom is done.
I think he has one more year, but I don't disagree with anything you said, and I obviously don't know because I'm not Tom Brady. Otherwise, no offense, but I'd probably be on a yacht right now if I was Tom Brady. Looking around the NFL.
You might be.
Yeah. I'd still call into the show, though, for four hours.
That's
I would call in for 4 hours from the yacht. I don't know how my service
really
would be.
Would you really? I mean, honestly.
I didn't say this show, but I would just call into a show.
$250 million in the bank. Would you do that?
I feel like I would. Not every day.
I don't feel like you would do that.
I definitely don't feel like you would, based on your tone of voice right there. It sounds like you'd just be sailing the South Pacific.
I wouldn't be sailing at all.
Oh, well, neither would I.
I'd be in the compound, up on a ridge.
Don't you do that anyway?
No.
Oh, okay. The Sean Payton situation, the way that that broke during our show yesterday, and now we've had 24 hours to sort of digest what that is. He has been, I feel, intentionally vague about his plans, Wolf. And maybe it's not the case. I know we don't trust anybody anymore when they say stuff, especially when they retire, especially coaches. But he hasn't really said, yeah, I'm retired and I'm not coaching football. He just kind of has been vague of like, oh, I don't plan to. That to me opens the door of like, but if somebody comes along with some amazing situation or some amazing offer, I don't know. Do you really see Peyton sitting out for a full year or longer, I guess?
Hey, listen, I realize right now he's been on the job. Well, 16 years? 16 years with the New Orleans Saints. Masonians, the grind of football, even in the offseason, the grind is real. And it's incredible what a lot of these human beings do, these guys pushing through that grind. And the fact that he's been in the same organization for as long as he has, the only guy that has been in the organization longer, in an organization longer, is Bill Belichick, of course, the greatest of all time. It is truly amazing that he's stepping down, and he's stepping down with 3 years left on his contract. Did I read that right?
I believe so.
Three years left on his contract, Luke. And then he's going to say, my plans are not to be coaching in 2022. When you qualified, why wouldn't you just say, I won't be coaching in 2022? Why wouldn't you just say that? I won't be I'm stepping down because I'm burnt. I'm stepping down because I need to get away. I need some separation. I won't be coaching in 2022. It's such an easy thing to say. It just rolls right off the lips, does it not, my brothers?
If I were saying what he said of my plan is not to coach, my thought would be, unless the right offer comes along, but also Houston Texans hear that as I'm not interested. Like, you guys can just lose my number.
Yes.
But yes, if Denver we don't know who his ideal job would be. And I mean, the people have drawn the connection very quickly. hey, why wouldn't you just go coach the Dallas Cowboys? He has ties to the Cowboys. He's a better coach than the one they have. That team has pieces that they feel, at least talent-wise, they could win a Super Bowl, and it's Jerry Jones. I mean, whatever they want, they're going to go out and try and get.
Why would you put a qualifier on? Why would you qualify it by saying, my plans are not to coach? I have no idea what's going to happen out there, all right? But my plan is not to coach. That to me, as soon as I heard him say that, I was like, okay, who are you talking to right now? Who are you whispering with right now? What have you heard, Sean Payton? I don't know what that is, but
well,
that was a weird thing to say.
A third of the league almost needs a coach now, because 9 teams need a coach, which is crazy. And you mentioned that he had been the second longest tenured. Well, if there are only 4 coaches in the NFL that have been with their current team for 10 years at this, but 10 years or more.
Whoa.
I mean, that is,
yeah.
And look, I understand 9 of the 32 teams don't even have a coach, but the only 4 that have been with their team for 10 years or more are Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, and like you said, Bill Belichick. Peyton was the one that was right there below Belichick in terms of longest tenured. And now if you're New Orleans, I mean, you have to probably consider, you're probably, to a certain extent, rebuilding, aren't you? You don't have your quarterback, it doesn't seem like, right now. You don't have a coach. I mean, I guess you don't have to completely burn it down and start over, but you got a lot of work to do if you're the Saints.
No, you got a ton of work to do right now. And I'm just wondering, is it a situation where Sean Payton doesn't have the desire, doesn't have the energy to take a young guy and build off that young guy? Is it a situation where he wants to work with a pro? Wants to work with a guy that he can sit there. Drew Brees wants to work with a Drew Brees.
That was most of his career, was working with Drew Brees.
Exactly right. It'd be so hard to sit in the same room the way that these guys did. And I heard this. I heard this from some people that would know. And talk ball the way Drew Brees and Sean Payton would talk ball. And the love that they had for each other, and the respect they had for each other, and just talking football. I wonder how badly he misses that. And does he want to get with a quarterback again that is established? And maybe there's some place, because his plan is not coaching in 2020. The best laid plans of mice and men off go awry, do they not, Sean Payton?
Well, that's probably
my plan. Why would you qualify? Why wouldn't you just say, I'm not going to be coaching in 2022?
Because he's leaving the door open. Look, I believe him that he doesn't have I'm leaving New Orleans because I have a fast track to go coach Dallas, and that's going to be announced on Thursday. I believe that. I believe he doesn't have a set path he's taking, but I'm sure he's looking around I could probably pick any job I want that's out there, and maybe even a couple that are currently filled. I'm going to leave my options open. If he goes out there and is I'm definitely retiring, and then he's coaching next year, people are going to be like, hey, Sean, why did you say that?
I want a quarterback. If I were Sean Payton, I want a quarterback that's going to blend the old and the new, who can do it both. Russell, how are you? Hi, I'm Sean Payton.
Could have just brought him to New Orleans, I guess. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears back to the Suns. It is Suns Day. We're going to be joined by the TV voice of the Phoenix Suns on Bally Sports, Kevin Ray. It's Game Day with K-Ray. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.